American songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Chloe Wilder. My brother-in-law, Sean Olbs of the Eiffels, was able to talk to Chloe Wilder over Zoom video. Chloe Wilder is a 14-year-old indie pop singer-songwriter from Clearwater, Florida. She recently released her new single, Call Me If You Need Me, and her debut EP, Teenage Lullabies, will be released early next year. You can watch the video with Sean and Chloe Wilder on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. And make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Chloe Wilder.
Hey, what's up? What time is it over there? Is it like 9:30 now?
6:30.
Yeah, it's 6:30.
Oh, 6:30. Okay. So you're, I saw that you grew up in Florida. So are you on the West Coast now?
Yeah, I'm in LA right now.
Nice. Me too. What part?
West Hollywood area.
Cool. Yeah. I'm over in Highland Park right now.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So, I like
so,
it here.
So we're not so far. All right. So I know, Chloe, how young you are. So it's you're just getting started, but why don't you tell us a little bit how you got into music?
Well, when I was 11, I recorded a couple covers at a studio by where I live in Florida. It was in Tampa, and I really wasn't expecting them to go anywhere, but somehow they got sent around to a couple producers. It was honestly really strange the way it happened. And then I got invited to my first writing camp. I was there by the time I was 12, and then I just kept writing from there.
Nice. What were they? What were these demos that you recorded? Were they you just playing the piano or singing, or what were those demos?
The covers were me just singing Lana Del Rey songs. So I did Young and Beautiful, and then I did Blue Velvet, the Lana Del Rey version. But yeah, those were the couple that really got me started.
Okay. So I think I read that, and I've seen your videos of you playing piano. How old were you when you started playing piano? Was that kind of your first instrument?
Mm-hmm. That's my first and basically only instrument. I've had a piano in my house my whole life. I started playing when I was like 4.
Okay.
It's been a minute.
So you had some piano lessons, I assume?
Yeah, I started lessons when I was 4. I'd honestly been playing it for the 4 prior years, but yeah, I like started taking it seriously around that time.
So was that mainly what you were interested at first, just doing covers? Were you, I've seen your YouTube channel. Is that kind of how you started expressing yourself and putting your music out there? Was YouTube the first outlet or what happened?
Yeah, I would say so. YouTube was like the first thing that I ever made public. I'd always just had a private Instagram. I like posted little videos of me singing for my friends, but like, you know, they got like 50 views. So it was nothing too crazy. But yeah, YouTube was the first time I like really put myself out there, and that was really my only way of expression at the time. I didn't have a lot of like original music. I didn't really know how to write original music either. I was just very used to playing other people's songs, which is really cool. But yeah. Then later on, I like really took writing seriously.
How did that come about? Do you remember the first time you were attempting to write a song, or maybe some of the first times?
Well, when I was 12, I did go to that writing camp. And so that was really the first time I like attempted it. But I was, you know, I was with other writers. So it was like a little easier and I didn't really have to do that much work. It was original demos, but like they never went anywhere. I never did anything with them. But that was like my first experience of writing. And then honestly, like when I turned like 13, I started writing a song every day, which is like not that healthy. Like you probably shouldn't do that. But I really thought it was going to help. And it honestly did. Just even like, I mean, it became like over time more like just journaling about my life every day. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then like this past like year and a half, I've just been writing, writing, writing. And like now I'm really capable of it.
Sure. I mean, I remember... I've heard stories of the Beatles. They would just put them in a studio and they would write at least one song a day, which I always thought was crazy. And so, I mean, that's amazing. Did any of those things that you're writing turn into things, or do you think those were more kind of just practice?
That was definitely more just practice. The first song I ever put out was called Overthinking, and that came about on my second writing trip. And so that was with other people. But I mean, that was very early in the game for me. So I would say that like some of it came to life, but the stuff that I wrote all by myself myself in my bedroom. Like, that was very private. I didn't really show that to anybody.
Yeah. Did you? So, I mean, that's a great accomplishment, though, whether they're good or bad. But writing that many songs that consistently, did you pick up anything? Did you learn? What were some of the cool tricks or wisdom that you learned from doing that?
I don't really know what I learned. It was honestly just me sitting down, and I learned how to write about everyday little things in a very like artistic way, though. Like, something so minor would happen to me and I could make it into a whole song. It doesn't mean it was good, but I could do that. And that's kind of what I still do, because not a lot has happened to me. So I have to take these little things that I take seriously and make other people take them seriously. So that's kind of a skill I developed.
Sure. So you said it was almost like journaling. Do you keep a journal in addition to writing? Is that something you maybe look at for inspiration when you're writing?
I don't really like daily journal anymore. Mm-hmm. That's one of those things I have to do for school. So I don't really do it on my own time. Sure. But I write like lyrics almost every day, because they just, right. I just think of them now. It's like such a natural part of my brain now that, yeah, I write something every day, but it's not like a whole, like, today I did blah, blah, blah. Like, it's definitely become more artistic.
Right. Right. You're already thinking, you skip the step of writing at first.
Totally. You just, yeah.
Go straight to lyric writing.
Yeah.
So you start writing on your own. How helpful were those writing classes? Did you get a lot of inspiration from those?
Absolutely. I didn't even know what a song was. Like, looking back before that, I've always been very interested in music and I think pretty skilled at it. But then I felt like so incompetent going to those classes because I really didn't know that much. So yeah, it definitely, I mean, those were the first songs I ever wrote. So I think I owe almost like everything to those writing camps, because I would have no idea how to do it. And, you know, I've written with other people now, and the more I collaborate with people, like, the more little tricks I pick up. And now, like, if you sat me down, I could write something all alone and it would be good. So I definitely think that, like, from then I just took it more seriously. It's not even that I learned a lot from those, which I did, but they definitely pushed me.
Sure, sure. Just having that encouragement and and seeing what people are doing around you. Yeah, it really is. It's a whole other skill. I knew a guy once, and he was this, I guess I still know him, but he's an incredible pianist. He can sight read just classical music, puts it up. Something he's never seen before, and he could play it. And I asked him one time, I said, "Hey, have you ever written anything of your own?" And he's like, "Oh no, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that." It's just, totally. It's amazing. So it's like such a great musician, you know, but he just doesn't have that part of his brain going, or at least hasn't tried.
Yeah. Totally.
So you get the, so eventually, you know, you actually write some stuff. Before you even started writing your own stuff, you recorded these Lana Del Rey demos, and you said that they got into the right hands. So what do you mean? You recorded some demos, and then did you send them to some people, or how did they get into the right hands?
It's kind of a weird story. So the photographer that was like just taking pictures of me that day in the studio, just so I had them, she like knew produced, I don't even know the full story myself, but she passed it around to some producers. She had a friend who built houses for producers in the Cayman Islands, and then like I went to the Cayman Islands, and it was just like, it really, wow. It was the weirdest thing. I'm being like dead serious, like it's literally how it happened. And I mean, it's super cool, but I wish I had like a better story. But yeah, that's literally it. Just, they just got passed around. They were CDs too, which is, I think, is so funny now, because I mean, even then I thought it was strange that they were on CDs, but like, I can't imagine giving somebody a CD now.
Sure. What year was this?
I mean, it was like 3 years ago? Yeah. So, I mean, it was like 2017.
Yeah. So CDs were already kind of dead, but it's strange because some people still wanted them, you know, at that
point. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I mean, the guy I was recording with, I think that he still used it. So, I mean, it was just funny to think that like a physical copy was being handed out.
Sure. So, a producer hears your stuff, he likes it. And then what happened? They say, "Hey, we want to record you doing some stuff."
Yeah, it was literally, we got a call and it was him. And I was asked to come to the Cayman Islands for a writing camp. And I did one, I was there for a week, and then I did another, and I was there for like 2 weeks. And that's where I met, you know, some of my current team members. And that just, that was really nice. That really fell into place. That's why, like, I owe a lot to them. And, you know, like, people come and go, but it really worked out.
Sure. Were your parents a little like, I don't know, you're going to the Cayman Islands to meet some person who wants to record you?
Oh, totally. But my mom, you know, it's been her and I for like my whole life. So sure. She's very protective of me for sure, but it was good. And we took my mom's best friend and her husband too. So it was like a few of us and us. Nice. Yeah, it was fun. And my mom was definitely like confused though. It was really confusing the way it happened. I just simply wasn't expecting it. And I wasn't expecting it to be a writing camp either. I thought I was just going to be recording covers or pre-written music, but I actually like learned a lot. But yeah, I'm glad that my mom didn't call it off because it was sketchy, because it didn't end up being sketchy, but like, I'm so glad that she didn't call it off because I have no idea what would have happened.
Sure. So you go there, you actually do some kind of artist development, actually, you know, writing clinic. Did you write anything there or start anything that you eventually recorded?
Yes, I wrote my first single, Overthinking. I was 12 and that came out. Yeah, we put that one out and nothing else came out from that. But I still really like to listen back to those writing camp days because it's very interesting the progress that can be made and like you don't even notice it. Like in my head I haven't changed like one bit, but then I go back and listen and I sound like a small child. So
yeah, it's crazy. You don't notice the day-to-day changes, but back a couple of years, you're like, I remember I had a teacher in middle school, and he once told us at the first day of school, he was like, you are all wearing your coolest clothes today because it's the first day of school. But just so you know, no matter how cool you think you are, in 1 year, you're going to look at your photos and think, what a dork.
You know, yeah, so. Totally. That's literally how it is. I went through this phase where I would not wear any color. I would only wear black. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I thought it was the coolest thing at the time. Like I only posted black and white photos. I was like, yeah. Uh-huh. You know. But now looking back, I'm like, no, you just looked like you wanted to be emo. You weren't emo. You were fine. Like, uh-huh. Yeah. So, but you know, it's progress. It's all part of it.
Well, I'll tell you this, black will age the best though. So, you know, in another year or two, you're going to look back and be like, those black photos were probably the cooler ones.
Totally. I still go back to it time and time again, but I like colors.
Yeah. Yeah. So after so you start recording your own stuff at that point? I mean, and I'm not sure if this was the same producer, but I see you've worked with some pretty cool producers. Jamie Silverstein, who's worked with Alicia Keys.
That's where I met Jamie.
Okay, so that was
Jamie.
Yeah, that's
where I met Jamie, was the writing camps. Yeah, he was amazing. I am so grateful to have worked with him. And, you know, I continue to work with him. Like, he's still a big part of my team. Yeah, that's where I met Tommy Hubbard, who I've written a lot with. You know, it was some very valuable time for me. And from then on, I mean, it's crazy how it works because I just met more and more people from these people. And now I just have like this big support system of fellow artists and musicians and producers. And it really just like built itself.
Nice. So, you know, I know 2020's been kind of a bummer in some ways for artists because maybe you had some plans that had to be put on hold for now. But prior to that, what were you getting into? Because, you know, you've released you have a bunch of music already, you know, that people can listen to. Were you writing? Were you getting ready to tour? What was the plan?
Yeah, I was getting ready to tour. We were planning a lot of live shows. I was practicing my live sets. I was really working on that, which is exciting, but I still can work on that. I just don't know what it's going to go down. But then when lockdown started, I was just writing a lot. And I'm honestly like, in a lot of ways, it did good things for me as an artist, because I feel like looking back, I kind of would have regretted starting live sets that early in the game, because I didn't have a big library of music and I didn't really know myself artistically yet. And now I'm like very developed and like I totally understand what I want people to hear from me. So I'm like grateful for the way I used that time.
Good. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we talk to a lot of artists, so it's, yeah, it's nice that there's a silver lining.
Totally. Totally. I mean, it's horrible, everything that happened, but it was like, don't get me wrong. Horrible. Sure. No. But I spending a lot of time just like alone and really like, you know, I started working with Sam Nicolosi. He produced my whole upcoming project and like really, you know, just working on that was great. And, you know, I feel like I got to know my team so much better too. Spending time with just this like core group of people has been pretty valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you, you just recently dropped Call Me If You Need Me, right?
Today. Yeah.
Wow. Today. All right. Mm-hmm. So do you want to tell us a little bit about what that song's about?
Sure. So Call Me If You Need Me was the second song I wrote for my upcoming EP, Teenage Lullabies. And I was like pretty frustrated with my lifestyle at the time. I had just started like really traveling back and forth between Florida and California pretty often. And I was still going back to school when I'd go back to Florida. So I would, you know, come here and like film music videos and write songs. And then I'd go back to Florida and I would have to attend everyday eighth grade school. Mm-hmm. So it was a little awkward. It was just a very uncomfortable transition. And you know, I like loved that I was getting the best of both worlds, but I kind of hated it too. And I kind of hated it more than I loved it. So I was, that song is really just about like my, also my growth and development that I owe to California, you know, because like, I don't know, I think it's really cool that I already know where I want to end up in my life, but it's also kind of sad because then, you know, all my friends and family in Florida know that I don't want to be there. So that's why it's the whole like, call me if you need me, because I'm always going to be around. I'm just not going to be there. And I think that's beautiful. But then I also understand why that's sad, because like, oh, I don't get that time to like figure it out either, because I really already know, which it kind of goes both ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there's plenty of time to visit them and do all that stuff.
Totally. And I still go back there. So it's like, you know, I spend half the time here and half the time there. It's just, you know, now I just know.
Sure. Sure. You have those aunts and uncles or people who want you to just live there.
Totally. Totally.
Well, we are excited then to see what you got cooking. I know. So the EP Teenage Lullabies, were you planning on releasing that this year and then it kind of got pushed to 2021, or are you kind of just right on schedule?
We had talked about putting it out in like around this time in fall, but I think this would have happened either way because it really just made more sense with my release schedule. So, I mean, yeah, we had like talked about putting it out in fall, but I'm glad that it went down this way. And I feel like that back and forth would have happened either way.
All right. So we'll look out for that. But in the meantime, just today, we can listen to Call Me If You Need Me.
Yes.
So thanks so much for sharing our story. I feel like there's going to be a lot more. So we would love to hear it when the time comes. But until then, we like to end the interviews with a question. That is, if you could give aspiring artists one piece of advice, what would that be?
Don't sign any contracts. I say this every time. I'd had my fair share of strange contract moments. Mm-hmm. I didn't sign any though. And that's why, like, I will, speaking for, just don't do that, because looking back, I feel like I would have been in a very different position. Also, I would say figure yourself out before you let other people figure you out, because the fact that you can just be, anybody can perceive you any way they want on social media and in real life, but especially social media, like you are putting something so vulnerable and so personal to you out there, and people are going to interpret it any way they like. Like, even if you say this is exactly what this is about, people are going to think what they want to think. So you just have to be like really confident in yourself and really aware of yourself before you let other people try and figure you out. I think that's really important. And that's something I didn't do that I appreciate.